Joshua chapter 24, and let's look at some familiar verses. Verse 13 is where we'll start, and we'll read to verse 15. We're continuing our series entitled The Family That God Builds. Joshua 24, verse 13, it says, "And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away little g gods with your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray. Dear God, I love you. I'm grateful again for the presence that we felt in this place. God, the freedom to worship. And God, the truths that we've heard even through the songs. And Lord, I pray for the next few moments, you would calm our hearts, calm our minds. Lord, help us to look into your word to see what you would have for us. Lord, I thank you for the word of God. Lord, I thank you for how it's so relative even today, written thousands of years ago, but God, it speaks to us. Thank you for the powerful living word of God. Lord, use us now. Speak to us. Empty me of myself. Use me for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. Pray for me. I mentioned the allergies. I think Pastor Ralph calls it the devil's dust. But it is real right now. If you just walk outside, you can see it all over the place. And hopefully my voice will hold on through this message. Over the past few weeks, we've been walking through this new series called The Family That God Builds. And Pastor has preached on different topics. Week one, we looked at the foundation of the family. And week two, which was last Sunday, we looked at the spirit of the family. And this morning, I would like to look at the legacy of the family. The legacy of the family. For most of us, we very rarely think about legacy in our day-to-day lives. Our minds are too busy thinking about other responsibility and other things, such as job, school, packing lunches, what to cook for dinner, ball games to go to, recitals, car problems, house repairs, bills to pay, retirement, vacations, appointments, all of these things we usually think about, but very rarely do we have time to think about our legacy. Legacy is the lasting impact of one's life, characterized by actions, significance, influence, and faith, not just material possessions. Legacy is something that we think about usually toward the end of our lives. If God tarries and we live long enough and we know that our life is coming to an end, that's about the time most people start thinking about legacy. Corrie ten Boom said, "The measure of life is not its duration, but its donation." Or you could say it like this: it's not how long you live, but it's about what you do while you live. It's what you leave behind. It's what you give after you're gone. See, that's the reality that every single person in the room this morning is faced with today. We can't control how long we live, but we can control how we live while we live. I'm reminded when the Bible talks about life being a vapor of this story of the mom tucking her curious 5-year-old little girl into bed one night. The little girl looked up at her mom and asked, "Mom, what would you buy if you had all the money in the world?" The mom was taken back by the question, but she thought. And while she stared at her beautiful daughter's face, she leaned down and kissed her on the cheek and said, "I'd buy time, sweet love of mine. I'd buy time." But you know, and I know, you can't buy time. The Bible says it's an appointed unto man once to die. Amazon doesn't ship time, and DoorDash can't deliver time. So we all wrestle with this. What will be after I'm gone? What's going to be my legacy? You cannot be too young and you cannot be too old to be thinking about legacy. We all should wrestle with that in this moment because we're not promised tomorrow. Life is truly a vapor. And see, that's exactly where we find Joshua in this passage. He is coming. Joshua, this man of God, is coming to the end of his life, and he knows it. And he has one final message to share with the children of Israel. Or maybe we can say it like this, and this is how I want you to think of it as we look through this passage. Joshua has one more family meeting before he goes home. One more time to gather everybody together and give them advice, give them wisdom. Joshua, the father, the grandfather, the leader, the man of God, this is his final word to his family. And I want you to think about it from the aspect of legacy. What is going to be your legacy? What is going to be my legacy? Joshua begins this, number one, as he's talking to the children of Israel, as he's giving his farewell address. He says, remember the past, children. Remember the past. If you look at the beginning of Joshua chapter 24, we won't take time to look at everything that is written here, but from verses 1 through 12, Joshua literally rehearses the history of the children of Israel. He starts from the very beginning with Abraham. He goes to Isaac. He goes to Jacob. He goes to Moses. He goes to the plagues in Egypt. He goes to them coming out of Egypt, wandering in the wilderness. He rehearses all of the history that the children of Israel has walked through over these past hundreds of years. And Joshua says, you need to remember the past. Here's what Joshua is saying. Children, remember the good providential hand of God who brought you to this place. Where is the children of Israel right now? When Joshua is addressing them, as Joshua is getting ready to step off the scene, where are the children of Israel? They're at the promised land. They're in the promised land. They're literally living in the promised land, the place that God had promised all of these years. They're there. But I want you to notice something from these passages. Again, we're not going to take time to read all the verses. You can do that at a later time. But I want you to notice just the first few words of a few verses. Verse 3, it says, I took. Verse 4 says, I gave. Verse 5 says, I sent. Verse 6 says, I brought. Joshua is speaking here, but when he is using the personal pronoun I, he's not referring to himself. God is allowing Joshua to speak with the words of the Lord. And so when he is speaking, I took, I gave, I sent, I brought, he is referring to God. So let's read it like this. God took, God gave, God sent, God brought. You know what Joshua is saying? Joshua is wanting for them to remember where they would be if it wasn't for God. Where would you be if God didn't take you, if God didn't give you, if God didn't send you and God didn't bring you? Where would you be? My goodness, I hope I can preach this because this is really big in my heart. Here's what he's saying. You could be a slave, but you're free. You could be in Egypt, but you're not. And you could be wandering in the wilderness, but you're home. That's what he's trying to get them to remember. And I want God's people this morning to be reminded of where God's brought you from. This isn't just for the children of Israel. There are testimonies all over the room this morning of people that have testimonies that would sound something like this. If we could take a time out and we could pass a mic around to every individual in this room, your testimony would probably sound something like this. God took, God gave, God sent, and God brought. Do you understand what I'm saying? This really helped me when I was studying this out. So just in case there's any confusion of what I'm trying to communicate, let me say it like this. I know and I believe that there are some testimonies in this room that would sound like this. God took my addiction. God took my sin. God took my fears. God took my shame. And praise God, God took my guilt. And God gave me grace. And God gave me mercy. And God gave me hope. And God gave me love. And God gave me peace. And praise God, God sent me a preacher, and God sent me a friend, and God sent me a church, and God sent me a message. And while the whole time, He sent me His Son, and He sent me His Spirit. And this is the best part. God brought me out of that lifestyle. God brought me out of that home. God brought me out of that depression. God brought me out of that relationship. God brought me out of that ICU. And God brought me out of that cancer center. Here's what I'm saying this morning. There's testimonies all over this room that sound something like this. God took, God gave, God sent, and God brought. And Joshua was telling the children of Israel, you better remember where you would be if it wasn't for the good providential hand of God. Can somebody praise the Lord this morning that you have a testimony of God taking, God giving, God sending, and God bringing? Brother Arthur, I don't know where you're at. Where's Brother Arthur at? He's up here. Where's he at? Brother Arthur, wherever you are, I know the choir sings a song like this. And I was thinking about it when I was sitting over there. God brought me out and turned my life around. Is that the truth? We're talking about legacy of the family. I've not even talked about the family yet, but we're going to get there. Here's what Joshua is saying. You better remember where you would be if it wasn't for the good grace and mercy of God. God took, God gave, and God sent, and God brought. He says, children, the final family meeting before I step into eternity, children, you better remember the past. But then he goes to number two. He says, you better be grateful for the present. Look at verse 13 of Joshua chapter 24. The Bible says, and I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, and of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat. Joshua first says, remember the past, but he also says, you better be grateful for the present. He's telling the children of Israel that you are now living and enjoying the promised land. And he says it like this, you're currently living in the faithfulness and the blessings of God. And you didn't labor for it. Think about that. Joshua is saying you're literally living in houses that you did not build. And you are eating fruit of vineyards that you did not plant. I don't know about you, but I feel like this generation of Christians, more so than any generation ever before, this is where we're at. If you think of how God's blessed America and how God has blessed the church in America, and you start looking at our campuses and our buildings, I relate to verse 13. You think about it, even now, I'm living it. I'm preaching in a building I did not build. I was 15 years old when this building was built. My children are sitting in the other building, hearing the word of God taught in a building that I did not build. We are enjoying this beautiful 19-acre campus that we did not labor for. But here's what I want this to etch in your heart this morning. I want it to pound in our hearts this morning. Somebody did. Somebody built this building, Brother Jerry. Somebody built that building over there, Brother Jerry. Somebody prayed over this campus. Somebody purchased this campus, and by faith, they built on this campus because God told them to. Somebody did. See, you're living in houses you didn't build, and you're eating fruit of vineyards you didn't plant, but somebody built and somebody planted them. I want to say this. I thank God for our founding pastor, Ralph Sexton Sr. I thank God for James Alexander Stewart. I thank God for my hero, Pastor Ralph Sexton Jr. I thank God for some people that came before me that built some houses and planted some vineyards. I thank God for Pastor Jerry Payne. I thank God for Pastor Jerry Young. Here's what I'm saying. I thank God for some deacons and some Sunday school teachers and for some choir members. But here's the message of the hour. I thank God for some families. Who built this church? I thank God for all the men I mentioned. I truly mean that. That's from my heart. But who built this church? Who builds churches? Families. I thank God that there were some families in that other building when we kept packing it out and they said, you know, It's not about our comfort. It's about stepping out in faith and building another building so we can fit more people in to hear the word of God preached. I thank God for some families. I thank God for some families that labored and sacrificed and prayed. I thank God for the families that could see past their comfort and see a vision for the future. Here's what I'm saying this morning. I thank God for some families that didn't know me, but they could see me. There are families that did not know me. They did not know I would be a pastor on this staff. They would not know that one day I would stand here and preach in this church, but they saw the vision that God put in their hearts. I'm glad that there were some families that came before me. They didn't know my children, but they saw my children. This is what we're talking about, a legacy of the family that can be passed down. And Joshua said, you better remember the past, where God brought you from and where you could be. But number two, you better be grateful for the present. And I want to say this very clearly. I am thankful for Trinity Baptist Church. Amen. Is it a perfect church? I think it's pretty close. But no, it's not a perfect church because there's no perfect people. But my goodness, it is a church that the Lord is doing a work through and that God is using in a mighty way. It's easy to find all the flaws about anything. That's easy to be critical. It's easy to find the negatives. But let me say this. The reason God has blessed this church is because there were some families that remembered the past where God brought them from, that was grateful for the present, but number three, they protected the future. This is the main part of the message. Do you know why we're here this morning? Do you know why my children have a place to worship this morning? Do you know why me and my wife have a place to worship this morning? Because there were some families that protected the future. And guess what? Now it's our turn. Protect the future. Notice what he says in verses 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Serve ye the Lord. And as it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says, praise God, he's redeemed your past. Praise God, he's blessing your present. But it's time to make some decisions about the future. It's time to consider your legacy. He gives them four things I want us to look at this morning under protect the future. He says, number one, fear God. When you're considering your legacy, when you're considering the future, it starts by fearing God. Fearing God is the beginning of knowledge. What does it truly mean to fear God? It's not a scared, I'm afraid of God, but it's an honor. I want to honor God with my life. I want to honor God with my life above all else. Nothing else matters except for my life to honor God. What a legacy that would be for you to leave for the next generations, that when they talk about you, when they talk about your family, when they talk about the way you lived, when they talk about what you did, well, they honor God. She honored God. He honored God. I pray that my children can say that about me one day. He honored God with his life. See, one day that will be reality. I won't be here anymore. I want us to consider what type of legacy we're leaving behind. If we're going to protect the future, we must make a decision to honor God. But then he says this. He says, serve with sincerity and with truth. Why didn't he just say serve the Lord? He uses two descriptive ways of how we're supposed to serve. He says, serve with sincerity and to serve with truth. Truth. You know what he's talking about? Serving with the right motives. That's important. You know, as much as we've been blessed, as I've said, in the American church and in American Christianity, here's the temptation that all of us have, is that we view church from a consumer mindset, all right? What can this church do for me, or what can this church give me? That's not really the right way to look at it. Joshua said, if you're going to leave a legacy, honor the Lord, but then also you're going to have to serve him. There's a reason why he's saying honor God and serve God, and then he gives these two conditions, with sincerity and with truth. It's with authenticity. It's with a pure heart. It's that when I preach or I teach or I sing or I help or I love or I invest, I'm doing it out of a right motive. It's not about my name. It's about his name. And I'm doing it because I love him. If part of my legacy, which should be our prayer this morning, is that I want to leave a legacy that honors the Lord. I don't want no scandals on my name. You know, there's a verse out of Ecclesiastes that says, a good name is more precious than rubies. And then it says this, we always quote that part, but we very rarely quote the second part, because it says, and then the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Wow. Well, how can that be? I've been in the hospital room to welcome my babies into the world, and that's a day of joy. That's a day of celebration. It's one of the greatest days of my life, is to welcome my children into this world. So how in the world can the Bible write that the day of one's death would be better than the day of one's birth? The only way that's true is if you leave a legacy that honors the Lord, and you leave a legacy of faith, genuine authenticity, authentic faith, that you leave that behind, and then you can be celebrated. When that day comes and you step into eternity, there's no scandals that has to be worked through. There's no awkwardness that has to be jumped around. It's because you left a legacy that honors the Lord. That's how the Bible says that. That's why that can be true, that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Leaving a legacy that honors the Lord, leaving a legacy of genuine faith. And then he says this, fear God, serve with sincerity and truth. And then he says, put away. Verse 14, he says, put away the gods, little g gods. What's he referring to there? He's talking about the false gods. You say, well, Pastor Nathan, I don't really have any false gods that I struggle with worshiping. Sure you do. They're called idols. We all have idols in our life that if we're not careful, if we don't pay attention to them, they'll steal our heart. He's referring to the sins of the past. Don't let the sins of the past ruin your future. If you're going to protect the future, you've got to put away those things that will keep you from accomplishing God's will for your life. Here's what he's talking about. He's talking about leaving a legacy of holiness. Put away those past things. Put away the things that would steal your heart from the Lord as it did your father's heart. He says, fear God, serve with sincerity and truth. Put away the idols. Leave a legacy of holiness. And really, this is the whole message. It comes down to this, verse 15. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, watch what he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods, little g, which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says you have a choice. He says, children, as I wrap up this family meeting, I want you to understand this. You have a choice. And then he goes on a little bit further and he says this, but I can't choose for you. That's what he says. I want to. Joshua says, I would if I could, but I can't. And then he makes this statement that should echo in all of our hearts. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, I will not stand one day in eternity and give an account for your house. I won't. I love you. I pray for you. And in some cases, I wish I could choose for you, but I can't. But you know, one day I will stand before the God of heaven, the creator of my life and the lover of my soul, and I will give an account for my house. See, I can't change the White House, but I can change my house. We worry too much about the White House. God says, worry about your own house. As for me and my house, how do you protect your future? How do you build a church? How do you change a nation? That all seems overwhelming, but God brings it so simply down for all of us to understand. Don't worry about the White House or other people's house. Worry about your house. Amen. Worry about your marriage. Worry about your children. Worry about the legacy that you're going to leave behind. You can't control everybody else. In a world that we live in of social media, we won't do it, but if we took everybody's average screen time across the building, I do this with teenagers, and it's sobering when we look at screen time. But even for adults, we'd probably be a little bit ashamed how much we spend on our devices. I can't even find mine at the moment, but it's somewhere. And we are so consumed. Think about what social media has done to us. Facebook, Instagram, whatever social media you want to talk about. What does it cause us to do? It causes us to be worried about everybody else's house. God never meant for you to be worried about their house. God meant for you to be worried about your house. You can't control their house, but you can't control your house. And Joshua says, I pray God's blessing over your life, and I pray that you do it. But at the end of the day, I can't do it for you, but I can control my house. And as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. What a legacy for your family to say one day that you chose God. Some of you may not come from a godly legacy. Think about that for a moment. There's people in the room, you did not come from a godly home. There's people in the room this morning, you did not come from godly parents. But I've got good news for you. You have a choice. Just because you didn't come from a godly legacy doesn't mean you can't leave a godly legacy. Just because you as a child didn't grow up in a Christian home doesn't mean your children can't grow up in a Christian home. You have a choice. That's why Joshua said, choose you, and think about what he says, this day, whom you will serve. He doesn't say tomorrow. He doesn't say go pray about it. There's some things in life you don't have to pray about, and leaving a godly legacy is not one of those. He says, choose you right now. Do you know why he says it with so much passion and with so much intentionality for you to choose right now? Because you don't know what tomorrow holds. And it could be too late. This is the moment God has given you. Choose you right now who you will serve. Choose you this day. And as I was praying through some of this, I'm done. Number one, my voice is not the greatest, but this is my heart, and I wanted to get it out because God put it in. I'm going to ask them to come. Brother Arthur, if we could do that song as an invitation. God brought this to my heart, to my mind as I was thinking and praying and preaching about this. We're talking about a legacy of the family. If God gives me, I'm 37 years old. If God gives me 30 years, if I do the math, Pastor Allen, I think I'll be 67. Is that right? If God gives me 30 years, a 30-year window to pastor and to serve at this church. Pastor Allen, how many years have you served at this church? 28 years. I'll pray that I get that long. And I pray I get a little more than that, okay? I pray that I get that long. But if whatever window God gives me to pastor and to serve at this church, here's what the Lord helped me with. God, my parents taught me this as I grew up. I had coaches that would invest this thought into me. I had some professors in college that would put this in my mind. But here's the thought. Whatever window God has for me left on this earth, and whatever window God allows me to pastor and to teach and to impact people, I want to leave it better than I found it. I want to leave it better than I found it. Think about 30 years. To me, standing here in this moment as a 37-year-old and thinking about being 67, that seems like eternity away. But you know what I'm realizing? That's not that far away. It's going to be here very quickly. But let's go a little bit further down this road. You can play something quietly as I finish here, and we're going to sing this song. God orchestrates things. You did not tell me we were singing that song until yesterday, correct? So just watch what the Lord does here. On October 4th of this year, on October 4th, 2026, Brother Jerry, we are going to celebrate our 60th homecoming as a church. 60 years as Trinity Baptist Church. Here's what I want you to think about as we close. We're talking about the legacy of the family. If the Lord tarries And Trinity Baptist Church is around 60 more years. What will they say about this generation? I want you to think about that. If Trinity Baptist Church is around 60 more years, what will that generation say about us? My prayer is that there is a pastor that one day stands behind this pulpit in 60 years. The reality is, in 60 years, none of us will probably be here, okay? It's just the truth. But somebody will be. That's my prayer. Is that your prayer? Do you pray that this church is still alive and vibrant in 60 years? I don't want it to die, do you? And they'll be standing. My prayer is that there is a pastor that stands here just like this, and maybe God just puts it on his heart 60 years from now to open up to Joshua chapter 24. And he starts reading Joshua chapter 24, Joshua's final words. And he starts talking about living in houses that he didn't build and eating fruit that he did not plant. What is that generation going to say about this generation? I want you to think about that. And here's what my heart is, and God has put this in it so big, is that I want that generation to look back and say, praise God for Trinity Baptist Church in 2026 that took a step of faith, that didn't give in to the world, that said, I believe God can use me and my family. And they said, I choose today who I will serve. And they feared God. They honored God with their life. They made sacrifices of time and money. They served God with a loving and a willing heart. And they put away the idols of this world, because not for themselves, because there was a generation coming behind them that needed a place to worship, that needed a church to be right. And here's, just like we thank God for Pastor Ralph Sexton Sr., praise God that he sustained you, that you're still here with us, Brother Jerry, that you can pick up a phone and call me and pray over me and pray for my family. I thank God for that. But here's the truth. If it is God's will for this church to be here for 60 more years, what are they going to look back and say about this generation? I hope that they say, praise God for the families that 60 years ago, they gave it all to the Lord. And they left a legacy that was full of faith, full of God, and full of protecting the future for families to come behind us. Now, think about this song that we're getting ready to sing. In just a minute, I'm gonna ask, if God spoke to your heart, we're gonna pray some big prayers. We pray little prayers. For most of us, we pray little prayers. We pray prayers like this: God, help me feel better. God, bless my food. God, be with that problem. God, help my car to run a few more miles. We pray little prayers. Let's stop for this morning. I'm going to invite you to pray big prayers. Don't pray things for yourself. I want you to pray things for future generations. That's crazy, but that's what God is showing us. I want you to pray legacy stuff over this place. There is, in my heart, and I know in our pastor's heart, there's some buildings that need to be built in this place. I love the old student building, but if you go over there with Pastor John on a Wednesday night and he's got 60 kids crammed into that little Sunday school room, there's nowhere to grow. I thank God for 60 kids on a Wednesday night in launch, but I want 160 kids, but we need a space to fit 160 kids. So there's some things that need to be done between now and then. And what is it going to be? Would it be, would God be show favor on my life that my children and my grandchildren would be reaping the benefits of some families in this place that said, I'm going all for God. I'm not leave anything behind except for a legacy of faith. Listen to what this song says, and then we're going to have a time of invitation and prayer. The last verse says this, and this is our prayer this morning. It says, speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time. Listen to this phrase that will echo down through eternity. And by grace, we'll stand on your promises. And by faith, we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built, not just for my generation, but for the generations to come, and the earth is filled with your glory. That's our prayer. What's going to be echoing down through eternity because of what God uses and what God does through the people in this room?